We're going to be talking about attitudes towards stewardship this morning. When we talk about stewardship and attitudes, it's always interesting with what people think. So I'd like to start out by asking, how would you define attitude? And it's always a little bit difficult in the auditorium here when you're teaching a class to be able to hear people. So if you would, please speak up fairly clearly. But how would you define attitude? Yes. Okay, so the way you approach situation. Any other thoughts or attitude? Just the last time I taught this class, I was in the junior and senior high. And so when I ask them about attitudes, I ask them, have your parents or anyone ever said you had a bad attitude? And one or two of them said yes. Well, actually, most of them said that. But and then I asked them if their parents had ever said they had a good attitude, which thankfully they all said yes to that as well. So that's a good job for the parents. But, good attitude, bad attitude, attitude. It's how we approach things. One of the things I did was I went ahead and looked it up in the dictionary, and it gives it as a manner or disposition, feeling or position with regard to a person or thing. Also, a tendency or orientation, especially of the mind. Okay, so that's what an attitude is. Now, we've been talking a lot about stewardship, so I'm sure all of you can give me a good definition of stewardship. So what is stewardship? Okay. It's a responsibility for things that are not ours. You know, so if we're a manager at work, we are responsible for things that aren't ours. For the proprietor, then we're responsible for things that are ours. But as a manager, we're responsible for things that are not ours. And when we look at this world and the things that we have, we need to be reminded and to remember that none of this is ours, and it all belongs to God, and we need to be responsible for us. Now, what are some attitudes towards stewardship? What are some attitudes that people in the world may have? What are attitudes that we may have towards stewardship? Trust, okay. That's an attitude. Well, who do we need to trust? Where does our trust need to be? Okay. So we need to trust God that if we serve Him, that He will take care of us. Okay. What else?
Management.
Okay. Because if we're going to be a servant, if we're going to be a steward, we have to manage things wisely and well. Okay. Okay. So our attitudes need to be kind and loving. So if we are, responsible for running something, we need to make sure that we have a little bit of humanity there, that we need to, not be completely lost up in the bottom line and, pay attention to everything that's going on and everything that's involved. Okay. Other attitudes? How does the world look at stewardship, look at money, look at possessions? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of different attitudes that we've come in contact with. Selfishness is one that's very pervasive, and I'm sure it's one that we have to deal with in ourselves. Probably on a fairly frequent basis. Okay, so there's selfishness. What about the entitlement? That's certainly an accusation that has been lodged against many of our millennials and young people, with the idea of entitlement, that that they deserve a trophy just for being on the team. Show up and it's theirs. Dave?
In the world, attitude reflects how you feel that day.
Okay. on that. Well, I mean, to be honest, to some extent, that's probably true of all of us. You know, because if you wake up in a bad mood, that's going to affect your attitude. If you wake up in a good mood, that's going to affect your attitude. And, you know, as Christians, it's our responsibility to work on our attitude no matter what mood we're in that morning. You know, that's one of the reasons why it's good to start your day with prayer and Bible reading. When, you know, when you make that effort, it helps to jumpstart your day. And I know that's very difficult for those of you who are not morning people, but I would recommend that even for everyone. Okay, now you've got attitudes of selfishness, entitlement. I'm sure you've known people who had the attitude, you know, it's mine, I'll do what I want with it. Don't you tell me what to do with it. So you've got to deal with that. Now, where do attitudes come from? They come from your heart, okay. You know, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But the things that come out of our heart are going to get in there from somewhere. So what are the things that build, define, change our attitudes?
Culture.
Go ahead.
Culture.
Culture. Okay. You know, the way we look at cars is probably a whole lot different than the way some other cultures look at cars. And that's because of where we live and how we live. You know, and the same thing. I mean, I doubt any of you, when you got ready to get married, looked to see how many cows you could offer for your bride. And yet, in certain areas of the world, that is still one of the things that would have to be taken in consideration before the man went to marry his wife, or to ask for their hand in marriage. And that's a cultural norm. Okay, so how do cultural norms come into our life? It comes from, you know, that shapes our value system, but, you know, our cultural norms start when we're born. You know, as we are in the society, the things that are around us, the things that are taught to us, told to us, come into our life. And what are some other things that that affect us?
Sometimes your upbringing.
Well, your upbringing, yes. That's a whole lot of the culture. But sometimes parents can make a choice to bring you up in ways that are not cultural norm. It may be because of their ethnic background, maybe because of their religious background. And ways that we're brought up are going to have a major effect on us. Yes. The more that we can surround our families with Christians, Christian influence, Christian fellowship, that's going to help to build our culture and our beliefs. But, you know, as we look, and when I was talking to the junior and senior high, you know, we were talking about the influences, TV, movies, you know, all of the social media. You know, well, not radio so much anymore as it was probably for your generation, but, you know, those are all things that are going to affect how they view culture. And as we look at the world around us, we can see how powerful social media and the other forms of media are in shaping people's attitudes and their viewpoint on things. Now, how do we keep those attitudes from getting into our life? And how do we change the attitudes that we have? And the first thing we have to do is we have to make a decision that we're going to change our attitudes. Because if we don't make a decision, it's going to be very hard to change our attitudes. And then we have to go to the source of where our attitudes should be coming from, which is the Word of God. And that's where we're going to get the power to change our attitudes. And then it becomes a consistent daily struggle to make sure that we're putting the right things into our lives so we can get the right attitudes out. Johnny? It can sometimes be very easy to look at things objectively when it doesn't really matter to you what the outcome is. But when it gets to the point where that outcome affects you or people you know, it's much harder to take a look at things objectively. And that needs to be something that we strive to do, to look at God's Word clearly and without letting our emotions affect us. And it's that way with a lot of things that we do, not just God's Word. You know, we need to make sure that we're looking at things clearly. Right. I'd like to take a look at some examples from the Scripture of people's attitudes and what that affected. I've got seven different Scriptures that I would like for us to read. So I'm going to try and get some different people to read. Let's see, who's got a nice loud voice? Dan McLeod, could you read Exodus 35, verses 21 through 29? Jim, could you read Exodus 36, 3 through 6? And while you guys are looking up that, Jerry, could you look up 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 9? And Ken, Luke 21, 1 through 4. Okay, if you're ready, go ahead. Exodus 35, 21 through 29. So here we have the story of where the children of Israel were getting ready to build the tabernacle. Moses had called for offerings, for gifts, and the people responded. They brought all the things that were needed for the tabernacle. In fact, they brought so much that Moses had to turn around and say, stop, we got enough. We got everything that we need. What event had just happened shortly before this that really impacted the attitude that the children of Israel had towards God and towards His blessings? Does anybody remember the backstory before this story in Exodus? Where had the Israelites just come from? They'd just come from slavery in Egypt. You know, they'd been down there as slaves for roughly 400 years. Now, when they left Egypt, did they sneak away in the dark of night? Or were there some things that happened that really showed them the power and the glory of God? Yeah, I mean, there was the 10 plagues. And then as they came out, the destruction of the Egyptian army, crossing of the Red Sea. You know, so these people were very thankful for what they'd had. They were very cognizant of the power of God and the nearness of God, of His presence. You know, and so that realization of what God had done for them formed and really put a lot of emphasis on their attitude towards giving to God and their attitude towards the things that they had. Okay, let's go.
The other thing too was very expensive.
With a lot of stuff, okay. On that, and yeah, so that was some of those riches may have been a little bit new to them, and yet, you know, all of us with the things that we have, those have been given to us as well. You know, even though a lot of us like to think we've worked hard for them, and we may have worked hard, I'm sure that most, if not everyone in here, has worked hard for the things that they have, and yet the things that we are blessed with. Even though that we labor for them, are still blessings and gifts to us. Okay, let's go ahead and look at 1 Chronicles 29, 1 through 9, please. Go ahead.
And King David also rejoiced greatly.
Okay. So here, David had wanted to build a temple for the Lord, but because of his bloodshed and his warfare, God told him that he couldn't, but his son Solomon would. So David, even though he knew he wouldn't build the temple, started the process of getting ready for the construction of the temple. And he started it by starting to lay up the money that would be needed for it, the things that would be used to adorn it, and getting everything ready for the construction for his son. And so his attitude had been influenced by his relationship with God, by his love for God and his desire to create good things for God. And so that's another one of the attitudes that we need to make sure that we have in our life as well. Okay, let's look at Luke, and the rest of these scriptures that we look at are going to be from the New Testament. But Luke 21, 1 through 4.
And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God. But she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had.
Okay. A lot of times when we talk about stewardship, when we talk about giving, when we talk about money, a lot of times we have a tendency to think, well, you know, that applies to people that have a lot of things. You know, that doesn't apply to me. That applies to the rich people. And yet, we need to make sure that we realize that our attitude towards what we have, whether it's just a little, whether it's right in the middle, or whether it's a whole lot, is what's going to influence our actions day to day, and it's going to influence our eternal destiny as well. You know, because, you know, Jesus said, man cannot serve God and mammon, which is basically a term for wealth, for money. So what we do with our possessions, what we do with our time and with our skills, is going to influence where we spend our eternal destiny, because it's a manifestation of our attitudes and a manifestation of our priorities as well. And here's this this widow lady that basically gave, you know, what would be just a few pennies to us, but it was a whole lot to her because it was her livelihood. And because of that, you know, Jesus was pointing out the attitude, the faith that was involved in this meant more than the large gifts that the other people were giving. Okay, let's look at a couple of more scriptures here. Novell, could I get you to read Ephesians 4:28? Ephesians 4:28. And Gary, could I get you to read 2 Corinthians 8:1-5? Oh, I'm sorry. Gary. Friedley. That would be 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Okay, Ephesians 4:28, if you would please, Novell. So here Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and basically, you know, he's saying, for those who were thieves, who had stole, you know, don't steal anymore, because now you're a Christian, now your life has changed, but rather labor with your hands, work, make things, hold down a job. For what reason? You know, did he say, you know, get a job and work so that you can have everything that you want, so you can have that brand new car and that nice house on the beach and take vacations? You know, that wasn't why he was telling him to work. He was telling him to work to take care of his needs, but also so that he would have to be able to give to those that are in need. So our relationship to things needs to be, one, we're not going to take things from other people. You know, we're not going to defraud people. We're not going to steal from people. We're not going to cheat. Do I need to reemphasize that as we come close to taxes? So our attitude needs to be one rather of the things that we have, we're going to use to take care of needs that are around us. Our needs of our family, needs of the church, needs of the people around us. Of course, that always brings up the question, what's a need and what's a want? And, you know, that's something that we've all got to look at, because I suspect that all of your grandkids have a feeling, or maybe great-grandkids, have a feeling that a cell phone is a need. I don't know. It's not, for them, it's not a want, it's a need. And so we have to be careful that our lifestyle doesn't become so materialistic, so luxurious, that everything becomes a need when we really ought to be looking at it as a want. Because, you know, as long as we have food and clothing, then we should be satisfied with what we have. Doesn't mean it's wrong to have more, but, you know, we need to be sure that we take a look at what we have and how we use it, rather than wanting to spend everything on ourselves. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. All right, thanks. Here we had the churches in Macedonia had been raising some money that was going to go to the Christians in Judea because of the famine, because of struggles, problems that they were having. And so they had raised money, and Paul was talking about they'd raised more than what his expectations were. And these people were not considered wealthy. Paul says that they gave out of their poverty, but they gave abundantly, and he gave one major reason for that. And what was that? They gave themselves to the Lord first. So if we have the attitude that we belong to the Lord, if we have the attitude that He is our master, He's our creator, He's our Lord, He's our God. You know, if we have that attitude and we give ourselves first, then that's going to impact everything that we do with our material possessions. It's going to impact what we do with our time. It's going to impact our interaction with the people around us, with our families, with our coworkers, with our neighbors. And it's going to have an impact on everything in our life if we first give ourselves to God. And, that's what motivated these Christians to give liberally. Let's look at two more verses here. We'll stay more towards the center. I'm not sure that the people on the edges can be heard on the far side of the room. So, Jerry. Make sure I enunciate clearly here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, please. And Bill Jr., 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 12, please. Okay, Jerry, 1 John 4, 19 through 21. Throughout these examples that we've been reading, one of the primary themes is our relationship with God, our attitude towards God. We have to be thankful for the things that we've gotten. We have to realize and understand the power and might of God. And in this verse, we have to realize the love that God has shown to us and the love that we need to show to God is going to be the basis that sustains our attitude, and that's going to sustain the attitude that we have towards stewardship, as well as the attitude that we have towards those around us. You know, how can you get on social media and call someone an idiot because of the position that they hold on taxes, and then turn around and say on another post that that you love God? You know, and the same thing with our interactions with people. The way that we deal with the people in our lives on a day-by-day basis has to be colored, shaped, and formed by our relationship with God. You know, in 1 John here, you know, John, as inspired by God, says, you know, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen, if you hate your brother whom you have seen? You know, because our relationships are going to be formed by what our relationship with God is. And that relationship is also going to be reflected in our attitude towards stewardship. Because when we look to God with love, we look to our fellow man with love, then we're going to look to the things that we have as the best way to use them for all those involved, rather than in a selfish manner. The last scripture that I wanted to look at was 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. Go ahead and read that, please. How many of you have heard or read of someone who's been arrested for embezzling? Almost always they'll say, well, I took this because I needed this. I was going to pay it back, you know, and that's how it starts. And they never set out with the desire to be arrested for embezzling. But their attitude was that they were going to do this because they needed it. Whereas we need to have the attitude that we are satisfied with the things that God's given us, that we're going to use the blessings that God has given us to glorify His name and to serve His kingdom, to serve His will. And that, you know, when we were born, we didn't have anything. When we die, we're not going to have any physical possessions. So we need to make sure as we go along that journey in our life that we take the gifts that God has given us, our ability, our time, our money, and use them to glorify His name and to serve His kingdom and His people. Any last questions or comments? We've got about, I think, another minute here before the second bell goes. Yeah, it's very easy to complain. That is for sure. And a lot of times we have a tendency to look first at how does this affect me, rather than looking at, you know, the overall picture. You know, because what the early laborers had bargained for and been promised is what they got. But they felt slighted because the last people got the same thing. You know, it's just like as Christians, you know, if someone has been a faithful Christian since they were 15, somebody's baptized at 80 and, you know, dies 6 months later, the reward is the same. It's eternal life. It's being with God in heaven. But we shouldn't feel slighted that we had to be a Christian all our life, because hopefully that's not our attitude. You know, that's not our way of looking at things. But rather because God loved us, we love him. And we want to be Christians. We want to serve him. Right. Thank you very much. It looks like there's a lot of people waiting to come in.